You're listening to Live Free, Think Free on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.
All right, welcome to Live Free, Think Free on KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm Micah. I'm here with Derek. How are you, Derek?
What's going on, man? Another week back here for some underground music and uncensored news. As you said, doing this on 90.1 KPFT Houston. We're happy to be broadcasting here on KPFT. As you know, just for those who are unaware, there's been some recent developments in the KPFT family, the KPFT community, and that is that this month, now that we're in September, there is more than likely going to be the return of live broadcasting in studio in KPFT's new home off Caroline Street. So that's really cool. I'm not even there anymore. I'm in Mexico, but Micah, you, Johnny, I imagine will be there. We're going to figure out a way for me to still, call in or whatever, but I'm excited. And I'm excited when I come home and when I visit Houston to be able to be in that studio. So thanks to everybody that is involved, everybody behind the scenes, volunteers, et cetera, who are making that happen. And of course, everybody who contributes to KPFT, especially through our show. If you want to go do that, you can go to kpft.org. There's a big donate button. Make an investment in community radio, commercial-free, corporate-free radio, where you can hear shows like ours, Live Free, Think Free, what we've been doing for 10 years now, talking about things that you might not find on the internet or on other podcasts or other radio shows. And that's the way we like to keep it. And yeah, we got a packed show today, Mike. Our general theme, it seems like, for today's episode is going to be talking about some of the struggles that I think are happening to increasingly average Americans, just regular people out there who are dealing with inflation that we know has been going on for a while now, rising food prices along with that, people losing their jobs, people dealing with debt in different ways, and food banks apparently having an increased need, even more than what we saw during COVID-19. Like, it's actually increased. I thought that was bad. I remember we were reporting on it then when Texas and Houston, San Antonio, places were saying they were going to run out of food pretty soon because of the demand that increased because people not being able to work and just so many different effects. So we're going to focus on that today on this episode. And go a lot of different ways. And we'd love to hear your commentary. So wherever you're watching, we'll be on KPFT, of course. We're live on Odyssey. We're live on Rockfin, Facebook, YouTube, and this will be placed elsewhere afterwards. And we appreciate everybody who tunes in. If you got something to contribute, let us know. And if you want to find out about what we do, you can go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com. That's your home for archive of Live Free, Think Free. You can check that out. And as we have been saying this whole month, we're promoting and supporting, working with, collaborating with Live Free Academy. They are doing a homesteading on a budget workshop, virtual workshop, so you don't have to come in person. You can do it from the comfort of your home. That happens on Saturday, September 3rd, so coming up fast. And you can go to our website, click the banner, find out more about it. And in just a little bit, we're going to actually have an interview with John Bush, who's the person behind Live Free Academy, the man behind Live Free Academy, behind this workshop, and he'll be telling us all about that. But you can find that at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Mike, anything we should start with? What are you thinking?
Thinking that you just reminded me that September 3rd, this virtual event's going on. You can learn a lot of stuff there. But you also reminded me that that is the same day Meltfest is. So you could go to Meltfest after you learn all kinds of empowerment things and spread the word, what you learned, and have something to talk about at Meltfest while you enjoy the half pipes, Ganesha, and many other acts. So I thought that because of you, man, you reminded me September 3rd, that's when it's all happening, Saturday.
Nice. It's going to be a busy day. Well, that sounds cool, though. So look, let's say that you are in Houston and you want to go to Meltfest, but you also want to do this homesteading on a budget workshop. Well, the cool thing about that is since it is virtual, if you decide to go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com, click on the banner, check out John's intro video, and you decide like, oh, I want to sign up for this. Let me make a purchase. You do that, you get access to that forever, like lifetime. So it's not just like you have to watch on Saturday. You'll have access to that and save and download all the speakers, all the talks, speaking about how to grow food in a small apartment building, how to do so with little money and different tips on food storage, a lot of exciting stuff. You'll hear more about it in the interview in just a bit.
I want to go ahead and shout out all the bands that are going to be on Meltfest because they include dear friends of ours, El Jumbotron, Your Disorder, Artificial Fun, CC and the Jewel Thieves, Kim Jong Uno, Mutt, the Halfpipes, and of course, Ganesha. Again, Saturday, that's at 7126 Lawndale, at a new place called The End. So that's what's up. All kinds of stuff.
Very cool, man. I haven't made it out to The End yet, but I look forward to doing that. Well, let's get into our stories then, shall we? I know we got a lot to cover.
For sure.
You had a couple. Why don't we start with – let's start with housing and getting into that and work. You got a couple stories on that, and then I'll get mine pulled up.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I ran into an article out there on MSN about the Census Bureau and just renters in general. And it said that 8.5 million people were behind their rent at the end of the month, at the end of August here. And 3.8 million of those renters say they're somewhat or very likely to be evicted in the next 2 months. You know, we often hear about people living, you know, from check to check. And I think many of us do live check to check. But we think, you know, that somehow we either have a little bit of savings or the check's going to be there to pay the rent. Well, for these people, and this is millions of people, the combination of soaring inflation, the end of the eviction moratoriums, and rental assistant payments, basically, they also claim that a low vacancy rate has pushed rents ups and many renters out. And they say rent rates are up nearly 25% since before the pandemic. I don't know. You got to think about that. Isn't everything up like 15 to 16%? But still, with an increase of 15% in just the past 12 months, according to real estate tracking service Zillow, evictions are up too, according to the Eviction Lab at Princeton University. In August, evictions were 52% above average in Tampa, 90% above average in Houston, and 94% above average in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So I think that's something to, you know, obviously, empirically, the evictions are up. Now, what that means, that's a, you know, that's a deeper question. I the inflation is a massive, you know, pressure, a lot of things being closed down, companies, the ripple effect of that. I don't know. What do you think about those numbers though? 8.5 million are behind on their rent. And in Houston, they said 94% above average eviction rate this year, Derek.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's pretty crazy, man. Those kind of realities are probably not being felt immediately at the moment, but I do think those sorts of things, I mean, you can't have that many people teetering on the edge of about to fall into essentially homelessness without it affecting other areas of our life, like the economy. But I mean, I think, again, if that does come through and let's say that chunk of people start to default, or, you know, the economy takes a downturn, or different things that can affect the economy or can affect people's savings and how much money they have available to them. If a couple things go wrong, that situation could be really bad. And it actually, if you don't mind, Matt, I didn't realize how connected the story, that story, which is data from the Census Bureau, right? That's one element to look at. But when you're done running through this one, I do want to jump to this article from Fortune magazine that just came out. A statement from Goldman Sachs saying, you know, that this sort of thing you're describing is on the horizon.
I gotcha. I think that looking through this story, that's the bulk of, you know, the information to discuss there. Obviously, the numbers are tremendous. Nearly half of the renters out there have seen rent hikes. Which I guess kind of stands to reason and is an effect of the inflationary atmosphere. Another thing they say is the rising rent is hurting some more than others. And I think that's also just true because of, you know, it seems like a certain segment of society is hit by this and these sort of economic ripples more than others. They say among households headed by Black adults, 58% are renters. 52% are headed by Latino are rented. And this is like 40% to Asians. So obviously the Black adult population is going to be affected by this more than the Asian adult population, just based on, you know, statistics, demographics here. So that was about all else that story brought up. But yeah, the numbers in it are staggering.
Yeah, I think there's a couple interesting points I'll mention before I jump to that Fortune one. It says there 57% of renters said they relied on credit cards, loans, savings, or selling off assets, including raiding their retirement funds to basically make these higher rents that are going on. And 14% of renters say that they weren't completely caught up on rent. So, I mean, obviously, this is not a good position for a lot of people to be in. That's kind of what I was saying. And so let me just jump forward then to give the word of, for whatever it's worth, this statement coming out of Goldman Sachs. This is the
Government
title
Sachs.
from, yep, Goldman Sachs from Fortune Magazine, saying the U.S. housing market will downturn will be worse in 2023, forecast Goldman Sachs. Okay, so just a couple of notes from here. It says the U.S. entered into its first housing downturn of the post-Great Financial Crisis era, and the worst still awaits. This is according to researchers at Goldman Sachs, which released a paper this week titled "The Housing Downturn Further to Fall." And the investment bank Goldman Sachs now forecasts that activity in the U.S. housing market will end 2022 down across the board. They project sharp declines in new home sales, a 22% drop, existing home sales, 17% drop, and housing GDP, 8.9% drop. And says for perspective, Russia's souring economy is only expected to fall 3%. So, you know, in this case, Goldman Sachs, this paper predicting in different areas and home purchasing, 20%, you know, and below drop. And they're saying this, there we shouldn't expect relief in 2023. They're also saying there might be further declines next year in new home sales, another 8% drop, existing home sales, another 4%. 15% drop, and then the housing GDP, another 9.2% drop. So overall, just predicting that things are going to be not doing too well. And they have some of their theories behind this and whatnot. I'm not going to really get into that, but I just think that that's interesting in the context of what you were just describing here, Micah, about the rents going up and people being kind of on the edge of being evicted and yeah, all that, those realities that are coming in. And that's the focus of today's show, is that we're going to be talking about food and some other aspects tonight, the different ways people are feeling the economic impact. But what do you think about this, Micah? And should we care what Goldman Sachs thinks or says?
Yeah, I think we should, because a lot of they have, if nothing else, the ear of a lot of people, and they do influence policy. And a lot of, as we well know and have talked about on this show, a lot of their officers end up going becoming, you know, treasury secretaries and things like that. So yeah, I think it's worth noting. And you know, I think it's worth noting because, one, propaganda, but two, the whole story itself. Think about it. People are getting evicted, rents are up 25%, yet housing sale downturn, right? Why is this? Is it because, like, just across the board, nobody can afford anything anymore? I don't know. Down the street, they still have these massive things over here, and I'm not in a rich side of town. Let's just say Acres Homes, right? $300,000 new three-story, not great materials, no yard, no money down. So I don't really know. I think there's a lot of strange things going on in the economy, and you know, asset prices rippling all over the place, government spending money, you know, in terms of loans, in terms of just war funding, just all kinds of things. We've seen them print more during COVID than before, and we think there's not going to be an effect. So I think that it's a turbulent sea, and there's all kinds of different personalities. I don't know who, you can't really blame anyone. What you can do in a way is talk about it and hope that people find ways to empower themselves in these turbulent environment. And I don't know. I think if you're on the edge of being evicted from rent, how much do houses cost? How much does a auction house cost? I'm just saying this because, like, I for one got out of the Navy, didn't have anything, and bought a house at auction. It was rough. It wasn't very expensive. It needed a lot of things. Maybe there's ways you can could examine buying some property with friends, you know? I don't know. But I don't know what to say, because people got to go somewhere. And if they can't afford rent, we see these new homeless apartments. We saw what the city's going to spend millions of taxpayer money to house them. And we saw there's a outcry from from people, from the half, a little bit less than half the city council about the contractor in that. So it's a big mess, no matter how you cut it. I think the number one thing to do is to look out for yourself and maybe talk to people and research, learn something about what you need as a home.
Yeah, and I think that that's honestly one of the reasons why I'm happy that we're working with Live Free Academy on that project, because in a very realistic way, these are the kinds of things people need to be thinking about. Is like, look, okay, we're talking about housing market taking a tumble as predicted by Goldman Sachs, millions of people on the brink of homelessness or being evicted, or having to take out loans or sell their possessions and things just to keep up with rising rents. And we're going to get into some of the food situation here in just a bit. I mean, we need solutions. And also, we're based in Houston, but if you're in any major city at this point, and even in some cases, places that aren't seen as major cities are increasingly dealing with homeless camps, like encampments that spread out blocks, like miles in some cases. The term in the past has been Skid Row, like in San Diego and LA and places like that. That used to be a thing that maybe you heard about was in one city like New York or in LA or something like that. But increasingly now it's happening where it's nearly everywhere. And I think that, yeah, maybe we should start to ask what old Klaus Schwab meant when he said you'll own nothing and be happy. We're going to get into some BlackRock stories here in just a little bit. And they have a role to play in buying up some of the housing as well. So think about that, Micah, too, is people not being able to afford houses. But then you got entities like these investment firms like BlackRock and others buying up housing developments and things. I don't know. It's definitely seems to be like another way that the wannabe elite are, screwing the people, the average people.
It feels like a harvesting at the same time as, we're going to have more and more money. It's like it's the weirdest sort of situation. Prices of all these sort of goods are going up. Meanwhile, the price of your house is going down. The prices of all kinds of asset classes are going down. The prices of a lot of stocks are going down. Meanwhile, everything you got to get is going up. So what you own is going down. So I just am curious. It seems like one thing to do is in this time to reduce your cost in those areas. It might be a good time to buy, right? Might be a great time to buy. And that would decrease your dollar per unit, right? So I don't know. I think when you look at it, they try and try to control the economy, but it's like trying to control the ocean. It's going to buckle and push in different directions because it's based on a function of the human behavior and desires of millions and billions of units that are subjective and controlled by their own individual selves. So more power to it. And if you can keep an ear to it, it's probably good for you.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead. You're listening to Live Free, Think Free. We're talking about the economy on this episode, but not the economy, I think, in a way that might bore some of you, but in a way that you can think of in a tangible way, the way that food prices, the housing market, the job market, all these things might affect you. And this is an interesting one, Mike. I've only seen the headline, but tell us about this because this seems like maybe it's a sign of the times.
It was so crazy. I had to click on it. And then I saw it wasn't from, some wacko website. Totally. It was from Newsweek. I mean, yes, they have their own, situation, but nonetheless, it turns out that scaffolders at a Canadian oil mine could allegedly be jailed for refusing to work overtime. No, this is in Canada, not in some place we might expect some sort of thing to make, trinkets that we use and while we act like we're above it, right? But no, this is in Canada, and it's according to a company memo. The letter was from Aluma Safeway, a scaffolding rental service in Alberta. It informed workers of a court order to cease and desist coordinated overtime refusals. An image of the document was shared to Reddit and other places and said their father was a scaffolder for the company. Forced overtime or jail threat came the post with 16,500 votes. Of course, anyone that thinks about it, scaffolding is a dangerous job that leads to accidents every year. Some of them fatal. In the U.S., scaffold-related accidents result in about 60 deaths and 4,500 injuries annually, according to the BLS. The most common injuries are serious brain injuries, spinal cord injuries, amputations, broken bones, and lacerations because falling hurts. And I'm sure they got other situations. But yeah, it turns out that the letter dated August 25th, for the last 3 days, scaffolders have refused to work overtime beyond their 10-hour shifts at the Suncor-based plant site, and they refused to accept overtime shifts for the weekend. The company said union representatives appeared in front of the Alberta Labor Relations Board that day. The board had ruled that the scaffolders' coordinated refusal to work voluntary overtime. We've seen these quote voluntaries before somewhere, Derek, recently. Voluntary overtime constituted in an unlawful strike, violating the labor relations code. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think about it. I this here is, you know, we're not talking about a fifth world country or whatever. We're talking about what would be thought of as a Western, you know, liberal democracy or liberal.
And it says scaffolders who continue to refuse to work this voluntary overtime could face termination, a hiring ban, legal action seeking damages, and contempt of court proceedings.
Think about that. Legal action seeking damages. So they're going to say the company was hurt, and now the company has a right to come take your stuff that you may have got before you even worked for the company. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'd go into scaffolding. You know, that's the unintended consequence of actions like this.
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't really do that well with heights in general, but after knowing something like that, I mean, for one, like, that's a pretty high rate of injuries. And it's not like when you're saying injury, you're talking about somebody jammed their thumb while, you know, working a hammer. Like, what was it? Is brain injury, you know, just spinal cord, all kinds of stuff. Like, it's definitely doesn't seem like my line of work.
Like refusing to do overtime, which if you think of it in a very dangerous job, you probably don't want people after their 10-hour shift to go ahead and knock another 4 hours out real quick or three or two. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems a little bit of an overkill to me. So where did that – I mean, I don't know if that situation is wrapped up. That's ongoing right now. These guys are still fighting
They're sorting it out. It's hard to know. They haven't given any post beyond that they were threatened with this and that there's an injunction from that court, you know, court order basically in Canada.
All right. Well, we're going to continue our look here now. As I mentioned, we talked about the housing market. We talked about people being forced to work voluntary overtime. The Census Bureau showing people living on the edge of eviction. And this story deals with food bank demand, which if you remember, for those who followed us the last couple of years during the insanity of the last 2 years, we've talked about how the lockdown impacted the economy and the impact on food. And this is well before we were being told that Ukraine was, you know, Ukraine was to blame for everything. Gas prices, or more specifically, Putin and Russia were to blame. We were already seeing these kinds of issues. I reported that in Texas, they were saying San Antonio and some of the Houston food banks might end up, I don't think it happened, but they were saying they were, you know, getting pretty close to running out of supplies because of the extra demand. And you were seeing long lines across the country of millions of people who never had to use food banks before were now part of that demographic of people who needed to rely on food assistance, right? And that kind of goes into the fact that more people are now living on the edge of eviction. More people are not able to afford housing, you know, these kinds of things. So we're seeing it across the board. So this one is just discussing a little bit of that. Let's dive in. Says worse than a couple years ago, food bank demand spikes as inflation wrecks households. So again, it talks about 2 years ago, the North Texas Food Bank was having thousands of people, hungry and unemployed people, lining up in their vehicles to receive care packages. And now demand for food banks is surging again, but this time it's for a different reason. This time it's because of inflation and people being unable to afford certain food items at supermarkets. So this is coming from a CBS report that looks at this phenomenon. And it says, while inflation has begun to cool, food prices remain high, making it difficult for many families to afford even basic groceries. Food banks across the country are feeling the impact of high prices with long lines and new faces as more families struggle to make ends meet. This is just reported in the last couple of days, but I remember, Micah, just like an exact headline like that during COVID. And they were saying the same thing. Oh, more families that had never had to go down to these to seek assistance in this way are now having to do so. One person told CBS, it's just the basics, flour, sugar, egg, and milk, prices that have spiraled out of control, adding, we don't buy cookies and cakes because we don't have that luxury anymore. CBS pointed out 53 million Americans relied on food banks in 2021 compared to 40 million in 2019. So 40 million to 53 million. 13 million new Americans couldn't afford essential items at supermarkets. And, you know, it goes into some deeper elements of this, but that we've talked about this, the inflation. I don't, the article kind of says now that inflation is starting to cool, I would argue maybe that's not accurate. But the food bank situation is unfortunately not surprising for those who've been paying attention the last couple of years. We've been saying this is something that we're going to face. And I think we, as we're going to get into in the later half of the show, we're going to talk about some things like ESG and some of the, what some people, including farmers, Amish farmers and others, have labeled as an attack on farmers, not only just in the US, but in Denmark and India and elsewhere, new restrictions in the name of the environment, making it difficult for farmers to produce their own food. These are, I just think there's a relation between all these topics, people not being able to afford certain things at the grocery store, people needing to think in terms of growing their own food and working with local farmers and places in the community, but also those kinds of places facing increasing restrictions on what they can do in the new push for, you know, things like the Green New Deal. So what do you think about all this, Micah, the food banks and everything else there?
Well, if you look at the, you know, if you're joined us video wise as well, you can see there's some nice cars in line there at the food bank. I mean, really, there are. And I'm not saying that in a flippant way. I'm just saying, look, it's affecting people you might not expect. You know, some of those cars are nicer than most of the cars I've had. You know, not, look at that. That runs. But yeah, I do think that's pretty important to note. There's a lot of, look at those cars in the line. There's dozens of newer cars, you know. So I don't know. I do think that people are hurting. And I do think, like you said, that we've seen inflation on food for years, a couple of years now. And, you know, I know this has to, we can talk about this in terms of solutions as well. And I do think, you know, one thing at work and through a couple of other friends I have, people are growing different things. And so that way everyone doesn't have to grow everything. One friend brought me eggs. The other one brought me honeydew and cantaloupe. And we have a little bit of stuff here, you know, beans and such. But I do think that might be another unintended consequence of this. People might actually start, you know, growing a little bit because, you know, everyone doesn't have to grow everything. You can just, you know, have a few friends that are concerned about this and, you know, they grow something in their garden and you grow something in your garden and y'all exchange. But yeah, I do think it's serious. Look at those lines are tremendously long that we see, you know, they're tremendously long. And people, and we read about this not just, you know, here, but throughout the country. So, yeah, I do think that it's an interesting phenomenon seeing this price go up. And, you know, we talked about 16% and 12% inflation in different food categories. I remember a particular show of ours, maybe it was a few months ago. But yeah, across the board, we saw up to 18%, I think, in different food categories. And so I think it's time for people to start thinking of solutions. And that doesn't mean just growing food and learning to have a cow. You know, don't let your boss get away with not giving you a raise that's at least matching inflation, because otherwise you're losing ground. There's all kinds of ways that being aware and having this conversation, you can empower yourself. And some of them, you know, are straightforward and others take a little bit of effort. So that's what these stories make me think. And yeah, overall, I don't know. You know, you see a lot of people, we've seen some posts here that say it's by design, that sort of thing. And I guess that's a consequence, you know, of a controlled economy.
Yeah, I think that is an interesting idea. I tend to agree, but either way, I think it's important for people to be, as you were saying, they're focusing on solutions. So in line with that thought, we're going to go to a song, play some Jeremy Carswell. And then when we come back, we're going to do a short interview with John Bush, who is behind Live Free Academy, that we've been telling you guys about all month, that is hosting the Homesteading on a Budget workshop this Saturday, September 3rd, a virtual workshop, several speakers. John's going to tell you guys all about it when we come back from this quick music break. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Live Free, Think Free on 90.1 KPFT Houston and the Conscious Resistance Network. We will be right back. All right, everybody. So you're listening to Live Free, Think Free. And this whole month, we've been telling you that this month's show, we're partnering with Live Free Academy, which is brought to you by my friend John Bush here. How are you doing, John?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. It's been good to be able to promote the Homesteading on a Budget workshop. We've been telling everybody who's been tuned in this whole month to our show about it. And not only that, but what you do with Live Free Academy. So I figured, since the Homesteading on a Budget workshop is this Saturday, this September 3rd Saturday coming up, by the time you're hearing this, it's just a day away. So you're going to want to go to the website and check it out. But why don't you tell everybody first a little bit more about what you do with Live Free Academy?
Sure. Yeah. Well, the whole purpose of Live Free Academy is to help people to create more freedom in their lives. And there's a few focus areas that we do: workshops, trainings. We have a membership program, consultations. We do in-person events. So the three areas are cryptocurrency and decentralized technology. How can we utilize this to help protect wealth, to build wealth? But more importantly, right now, cryptocurrency, especially private cryptos like Monero, they are going to be our saving grace to enable us to keep doing business with one another online outside of this central bank digital currency scheme. All right. So that's really important stuff. And then we also talk a lot about financial independence, entrepreneurship, helping people to take control of their financial lives, start a side hustle, start a business, or just be a solid employee and do great work for the boss so you can get a raise and have some abundance there. And then finally, we do exit and build strategy, which, of course, is a phrase you coined in your book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. And we've taken it and really helped to encourage and empower people to focus in on this exit and build, not lollygagging, not begging politicians, not yelling at government buildings, but exiting the systems that we disagree with, that we find unethical, and building voluntary, decentralized ones so we can experience real freedom. And hopefully the future generations will be able to inherit these systems that we're creating and experience great freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you're doing with the Live Free Academy model. I mean, I've seen some other people take a similar approach, but where you have this one kind of place where people can learn about everything you just mentioned there, but also you've got the archives from previous events that you've hosted, like the Exit and Build Land Summit, which I spoke at earlier this year. So I really appreciate the approach you've taken there. And so the last couple weeks, we've been telling everybody this Homesteading on a Budget workshop is coming up, and we've been sort of giving a summary of it. But why don't you go ahead and explain a little bit more in depth, including some more about the teachers? We've mentioned a couple names, but I know you have a lot more to say about it. So anybody who is curious and has been listening to us for the past couple weeks telling you about this Homesteading on a Budget workshop, now is the time to, you know, really consider if you want to get into this weekend. And of course, you can watch it after the fact if you decide to make a purchase. But go ahead and tell us more about it, John.
Sure. Well, I was inspired to do it because I'm always paying attention to my audience and our community and trying to identify weaknesses, pain points, things that people struggle with, and especially limiting beliefs. And so after the Exit and Build Land Summit, that was a big event we did here in Central Texas. The whole idea was to help empower people to exit the cities and to buy land and build community in the country. And so one of the biggest objections and limiting beliefs people had was, I can barely afford rent. I'm struggling financially. How could I possibly come up with the money for a down payment? All right. On top of that, a lot of people are really concerned, as they should be, with food shortages, supply chain disruption, inflation. The groceries are getting more and more expensive. So for folks on a fixed income or folks that are struggling financially, life's challenging right now. So we wanted to put together a workshop to specifically address these two struggles, these two pain points, right? So what we're hoping to do with this workshop is show people tips, strategies, techniques, so they can grow their own food, so they can strategically stock up on storable food and be more prepared, so they can build networks and relationships with local food producers. We're very much going to teach people and encourage people to leverage the Freedom Cell Network, freedomcells.org. More recently, we just did a meat share. So we were trying to do a quarter cow, but we ended up bringing enough people together and putting enough money together to purchase a whole cow that got butchered and distributed amongst our local Freedom Cell crew. So really, it's about helping people to feel empowered, whether they are rolling in the dough or especially if they're struggling financially. We want to make it to where they have the knowledge, the tools, the empowerment, and the confidence to plow forward. It's also like folks living in an apartment, single family neighborhood. We're going to talk about container gardening. We're going to talk about community supported agriculture programs, talk about how you can strategically do grocery store runs. Like just a quick tip that I'll share in the workshop. You don't have to pull together hundreds of dollars and buy like the survival food pail that costs $700 or whatever, right? You can strategically, every time you go to the grocery store, you simply maybe add 10% or so and pick up some extra canned goods, pick up some non-perishable foods. That way you're doing it over time. And then over the course of a few months and several grocery store runs, you look in your pantry and you got a nice little stash there that at least gets you through a month or so. So these are really important things. Unfortunately, people have become so dependent on the grocery store. And it's not like this all over the world, but in the Western world, everyone's really gotten soft, basically, and they haven't had to fend for themselves. Unfortunately, because there's some really ugly people in this world and they're using environmentalism and climate change as an excuse to hurt small farmers and to take control of land, we're now experiencing some pretty rough times, and I'm afraid that it's only going to get worse. So we don't want anybody to be caught with their pants down, so to speak, or to caught off guard. The time to prepare is now, and this workshop is going to provide people with all sorts of information to do just that.
Yeah, that's really great. I appreciate, obviously the work we do together is always solutions focused, so I appreciate you bringing that to it. And also being able to kind of identify, like you said, these weak points that affect a lot of people. I definitely get these questions too, probably just as much as you. Is like, I have little bit of space, or I have a little bit of money. How can I do anything? You know, what you guys are talking about is beyond my means. So this is definitely something I think is going to appeal to a lot of people. And so it's happening this Saturday, September 3rd. And if I remember correctly, if people do opt in and they choose to make a purchase of the webinar, they get access forever and definitely. Is that how this is going?
Yeah, we provide the online replay with all our workshops. So there's a lot of folks that aren't able to tune in on the Saturday for whatever reason. So a few days after, we'll get it nice and polished and edited and produced. We'll upload it to our online course membership area, and you'll get an email and be able to tap in there. Feel free to watch it with your friends, family, whatever. We just want to get this information out.
What do you say, John, or think about the idea for somebody who, you know, understands these topics that we will focus on, the concern about the food, the health side of things, the attack on farms, all the different things you outlined here, and maybe still doesn't feel motivated, you know, just talking on a purely kind of human level of people who know things are bad and like they see worse things on the horizon, but still can't quite get themselves, you know, behind the idea that they need to go get their hands in the dirt, or, you know, start thinking about raising animals or growing food or these kinds of things. You know, I just noticed for some people, they have that approach of I don't have a green thumb, or also maybe the reality that in the coming next world we're trying to build that I know we're both focused on, some people will say, I don't want to be a farmer, right? Like, this is important. I know this is a valuable thing, but that's not the role I want to take. You know, do you think that all of us should, you know, care about these things? Or if this isn't maybe somebody's main concern, would the idea be maybe we should at least have somebody in the family, somebody in the Freedom Cell that does care about these concerns?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there are a lot of people, a ton of people actually, perhaps more people than are actually taking action, that see the problem, see the forest for the trees. They are well researched, but they don't do anything. And I think a lot about it. I know you do too, about how can we motivate these people? Because, you know, as activists, we don't want people to get hurt. We want people to be prepared. But it's not just about protecting oneself and like surviving. We want to create a better world at the end of the day. So a few things came up with that question. One, you don't have to go so far as we are conveying and encouraging. Right? Like, you and I are visionaries. We want to see genuinely free societies, little agorist pockets and intentional communities all connected with trade routes from Texas to Mexico and stuff, right? All that kind of fun stuff. But for folks, they don't have to go that far. It's just take some baby steps here and there, right? And so, like you said, you don't have to be the one to grow the food. I do think that it's worthwhile for everyone to know how to grow food and to at least have some garden action going on. But that being said, if you're not going to go out and learn to at least learn the basics to be able to grow some tomatoes, some okra, squash, which grow well in, here in Texas, then you at least better have some skills to provide, because the economy is changing, times are changing. On the one hand, things are shifting into this fourth industrial revolution, which is like merging biology and technology. All the young people are learning about STEM, you know, like science, tech, and math, and engineering, and coding, right? So things are shifting that way. But I got to tell you, the pendulum swings back and forth. And as there's more and more of a shift towards centralization and technology, there's going to be a shift back to the old traditional way of doing things. And as things get centralized, corrupted, as there's actually like a it's all by design that they want to control people and leverage food in order to get people to do things against their will or against their desires, you can bet there's going to be a strong need for these old world skills, being able to do electrical stuff, knowing how to store food, knowing how to, you know, just basic carpentry skills. So you don't have to spend all your time doing it. You don't have to become an expert or a master in it, but it would be worthwhile to at least know those basic things. And then one more piece, and I just did an interview with David Dubine, which was really cool. This guy's a deep level analytical thinker, but he was making the point, like, if you're a father, the head of a household, right? Not always the head of a household's a father, but like if you're a father, single mother, or the woman is the one that's responsible for maintaining that household, it's your responsibility to be able to provide for your children. And if you're depending on going to the grocery store always to meet your most basic needs, which is food, you may be in a world of hurt, a world of pain. It's hard for people to fathom it because we've been so comfortable here in the West, in the US, at least most people. But I fear that these systems that are very vulnerable because they're so highly centralized, they're going to come crashing down. And unless you have some of this basic preparedness, you're gonna hurt, you're going to struggle. And I know for sure I don't want to see my kids experience hunger because I wasn't prepared.
Absolutely. I definitely think that's a really important point. And yeah, I do think overall this is something that more people might be interested in than they might imagine, even if you don't, you know, view yourself as a homesteader or as, you know, somebody focused on going off grid. If you're concerned about the direction the world's going and the power of the government, then I do think these are things that are crucial, even just on the most basic level, as you're saying there, John, just for the kind of sake of survival and for the security. You know, I always tell people that I don't stress out about so much, you know, I have my days, but I don't stress out so much about the direction things are going because I know that I'm proactively trying to secure myself in different ways. And I'm definitely not, you know, all the way where I want to be in each area, whether that's water security, food security, you know, land, et cetera. But moving in those directions and making sure that I'm progressing and that always is kind of the goal. So I feel like the more you do that and the more you're proactive, like by checking out this homesteading on a budget workshop, then the less likely you are to be living in fear and, you know, just kind of just or apathetic even. But I wanted to make sure we mention this. We haven't mentioned it yet. You were kind enough to say that we can have some complimentary passes to the homesteading on a budget workshop. And this is just especially for Live Free, Think Free right here on 90.1 KPFT Houston. We're thankful to John Bush and Live Free Academy for this. But why don't you go ahead and outline that for us, John?
Yeah, before I do that, you asked earlier about the other speakers. Just want to share that.
Oh, right, sure, sure.
We procured some really cool, really intelligent folks in these areas. So first, me and my fiance will be sharing about our story, about how we lived in a 399 square foot tiny home with the two kiddos in order to save up to buy a 10 acre homestead. So we're going to talk about how we saved on money, how we cut expenses, how we strategically did grocery runs and stocked up, right? So we're going to be sharing part of our lessons that we've learned. But then we're going to be joined by Nomad Brad. He's actually the first community member on our little intentional community. We have two folks that live out there besides my family. He converted his U-Haul. Yeah, there's a picture of him right there. It's a U-Haul. He made it real nice. It's actually pretty luxurious on the inside, but he paid like $12,000 for the thing and then put $8,000 or so
into it. I watched Brad's tiny home tours video. It was awesome.
Yeah. So he's going to teach all about that, the ins and outs. He's also the guy that organized the meat share, so he's going to share about that. And then our good friend Nicole Sauce, we do a lot of work with her. She's in Tennessee. She does incredible work when it comes to preparedness, and she's very scrappy too. She's part of this GSD crew, Get Stuff Done. So she's going to talk about what we can do with our excess yield. Like if you grow something that's really abundant, like squash in Texas and okra just grows and grows and grows, how we can can it, how we can preserve it, freeze dry stuff. She's also going to talk about how you can monetize your homestead. And we're also going to be joined by Marjorie Wildcraft. She perhaps more than anyone I know knows the most about getting more done with less space, less time, less energy input. So we're really grateful to have her on board. And then finally, Paul Wheaton, who's a powerhouse dude, and we're really grateful that he's been brought into our community through the Exit and Build Land Summit. He's one of the world's leading experts on permaculture. They call him the Duke of Permaculture. So he's going to talk about his program called SKIP, which is linking up older folks that are about to retire or are retired. They're no longer able to maintain their land. And then he has a training program that teaches young people permaculture skills. And then once you pass these classes, he'll link you up with the folks that have land. So talk about how to get land with little to no cost. This guy is solving a problem and bringing two groups in need together. He's also going to talk about how they're doing scrappy technology like the rocket stove and all that stuff. So we're really grateful that we have this all-star cast of teachers to bring that information. But yeah, let me share that coupon code. So yeah, I want to do this is exclusive just for your audience on the radio show. We're not going to share this anywhere else. So there's only four free tickets. All right. So it's going to be the first four people to go to the website. You can follow the links there on their website. But the coupon code quite simply is live free, think free, live free, think free. There's four codes, only four, and you'll get 100% off of this workshop. So we hope that you'll take advantage of that and just want to do that as a nice little gift there for the radio audience.
Thank you for that, John. We do appreciate it. And yes, everyone, so you go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com, which is the show, the home for our show, Live Free, Think Free. You'll see a banner right there on the homepage that says the Homesteading on a Budget Workshop. Click there, make the purchase. As John mentioned, the coupon code will be Live Free, Think Free. And I really appreciate that. And I do appreciate you making the effort to put together this workshop and to make it available to people, both you and Rebecca, as well as everybody else who's going to be presenting. I think it's going to be a wealth of information, and I highly encourage anybody who has been interested in these kinds of topics, or, you know, just even out of, if you're not interested, but you just feel the necessity of these kinds of topics, to really give it a shot. And then you can own it forever and you can share it with your family and put it to use. So anything else you want to add, John?
No, just in spite of all the craziness going on, it really is so important what we choose to focus on. So if you choose to focus on getting prepared, if you choose to focus on building community, in all honesty, like sometimes I walk around my property lately and I'm looking at the food production systems that we've built out just in the past few months. And then I think about how connected our local community here is in Central Texas. I know you guys got a really connected community there in Houston and down in Morelia. I think nothing's more important than having people that have your back. And it's not just having people that have your back, but you got to go above and beyond to provide value and support other people so that reciprocity comes into play. So we're entering some pretty crazy times. It doesn't have to be ugly. It can actually be an opportunity for transformation if we see it that way. So it's always good to stay positive. I always appreciate you bringing that positive, empowered message too.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We've been talking with John Bush of Live Free Academy and the Homesteading on a Budget workshop. Again, go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com, check out our banner. And if you get there in time, use the Live Free, Think Free coupon code. We'll be right back.
All right. That was an interesting time with John. I thought he brought up a few things that I think are important, as far as not everybody necessarily wants to be a farmer, right? I think he said that one, right? And thinking about different ways, you know, one of the audience spoke up about six hens and you got eggs forever, basically. Just different ways, orchard, you know, it's, yeah, it takes maintenance, but it's not the same. And then I think about the people like in my life that have small gardens and how much they actually get out of them on a regular basis. There are a couple of trees in their yard, you know, rather than just shade trees, some productive trees. And I think of this beyond just their yards and down to the parks and all that sort of thing. So yeah, I do think a lot, too many people's only option for food is either some out to eat stuff or the grocery store. And I do thank everybody that visits the the link there on HoustonFreethinkers.com. Let John know, you know, there's 4 free tickets. You want to find out about this. You're getting, like he said, you maybe you're not available Saturday. You would basically have it right forever to watch. You could just watch it Monday at work.
Yeah, exactly. So check it out, thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Again, by the time you're hearing this, you have just under, you know, a day or so to get involved. And if you go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com and you check out the banner, for now, until 4 people do it, there's 4 free tickets with the code LiveFreeThinkFree. And we've got just a few more minutes, but I think that this final conversation we can have here, as we've been talking about, Micah, today about homelessness and costs of housing, inflation, food, and then just some solutions with John, that one of the other proposed solutions that's being put forth by various corporate entities is this idea of what's called ESG, which stands for environmental, social, governance. These are a sort of standards, criteria that are being proposed by various entities, including the United Nations Forum and others, as a way to, it's being promoted as a way to attain the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, as a way to fight climate change, that if we encourage certain businesses to have these ESG standards that, you know, pay attention to the environment and their social, you know, their social relationships, and then their board of governance structures, like, oh, do they have women on the board? Do they have diversity? Is it how many people of color and all these kinds of things? So it's really coming into popularity and it's being discussed by a lot of different people. Micah, you know, I know we only got a couple minutes, but you want to explain what you found here, BlackRock in Texas?
No doubt. I think it's important. We'll be hearing a lot more about ESGs because I just kind of got into this for a kind of offbeat question. And then I discovered how much news out there on ESG there was. So I think we'll be getting more. BlackRock, the world's biggest issuer of exchange traded funds. And, you know, we've spoke about them before on this show. Ta-da, BlackRock. The top, basically, in Texas, the top oil producing U.S. state recently traded barbs that after the state listed 10 firms August 24th saying boycott energy companies. BlackRock was the only U.S. company on the list. I think that kind of isn't the only way they stand out, but they certainly stood out there. Firms making the list and the 350 funds named are subject to divestment provisions, basically, according to a statement issued by the Texas comptroller. The comptroller accused the companies, which included European Bank Credit Suisse, UBS AG, of pushing, quote, a social and political agenda shrouded in secrecy, end quote, as it invests U.S. some money according to ESG guidelines. BlackRock, based in New York, pushed back and said it hasn't boycotted oil and that, in fact, invested $100 billion into the state's energy industry on behalf of clients. The company accused Texas of, quote, politicizing state pension funds, restricting access to investments, and impacting the financial returns of retirees. Texas is the latest state to push back against ESG investing. Florida recently banned its $186 billion pension fund from investing according to ESG guidelines. Meanwhile, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Oklahoma also have taken aim at ESG investing. So I don't know, Derek.
I think you're right, Micah, that it's going to be a really important one. We'll have to talk more about this on the next episode. I know we're just about out of time. But yeah, like you said, if anybody just does a little bit of research, you'll find out more. And we'll put these links at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. I found another one talking about the rise of ESG, said replacing profits with paternalism and strategy with standards. You can check that out. And, you know, one of the things, the last thing I want to add to this before we say goodbye, you had another one, Micah, that plays into this, which is at the moment, these proposed standards have to do with corporations, but there are many people who fear that these standards might be applied to individuals. We've talked about this carbon wallet, carbon credit allowances, and things like that, not just for corporations, but for you. And are you allowed to drive this week? Do you have enough carbon credits? Can you, you know, ride an elevator, or is it going to cost you carbon credits? Well, I saw this one you pulled up, Micah. California asked residents to avoid charging electric vehicles due to blackout risks after unveiling new gas car ban. And that one's kind of crazy. I saw that, right? But that's the asking. They're still at the asking stage. Here's another one I found in Denver. Thousands of Xcel Energy customers locked out of their thermostats during an energy emergency. 22,000 people lost control of their temperatures in their homes for hours on Tuesday because the company, using their smart meters remotely, decided that because it was a peak time, they couldn't go any lower than 78 or 79. They locked in people's homes to that. We've seen examples of that. So, you know, just as an example of how far these things can go, it can go from suggestions and standards and criteria to you can't even control the thermostat in your own home. That's what I worry about. Yeah, but that's it for today, guys. We appreciate your time. Please visit thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Check out the banner for the homesteading on a budget workshop. You heard from John Bush about that. There's 4 free tickets there. Go there, check it out. Live free, think free is the code. And if they're gone by the time you get there, still consider checking it out. It's a nice investment to learn more about those kinds of topics and maybe be proactive rather than just reactive. Till next time, guys.
Meltfest. The end.
See you this weekend in Meltfest. Peace, guys.